fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And living the dream with you each and every morning. Thank you all for joining us. Please tell a friend. We'd love to be here for many more days and months and years and decades. But it all depends on you. No ticky, no punchy, no listening, no Millie at 580KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We're joined by our great friend Dave Pezzo, Pezzo Financial, the Pezzo Center at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Kevin, good to see you again.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Hope you had a great holiday.
I did. I tried to grow a beard, watched a lot of The Wire, and lived like a lot of people do, uninformed, misinformed, just kind of hung out and tried to see how the other half lives.
What happened to the beard?
I'm going to be 47 next month.
Okay.
I guess that's late 40s, soon to be 50, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand. You've been there.
Yes, and past.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay, fair enough. You don't look a day over 25 to me.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Then again, I'm not your target audience.
Plastic surgery has helped a lot.
Well, you get the return on your investment. So, you know, I still can't grow a beard.
Now, you can't?
No.
Little patches, that's the bald spots?
Bald spots, not very thick. And then you have these other kids, these young kids today, 21, 22. It's like a lawn.
Yeah.
This is a compelling topic here. But anyway, we take a look at the end of the year. Was it a successful year for those folks in the stock market?
Well, it was. Of course, the market finished, the U.S. market finished at all-time highs. The broad markets, small cap, meaning even U.S., and then the foreign markets, bond markets, they weren't nearly as strong. So it was a pretty low return year, a very low return year, actually, when you consider overall, like what a diversified portfolio would be. But it was positive, Kevin, and the year before was, and the year before, and so on. It's been a very positive recovery here for the past 6 years. So we hit year number six in a row for the market being up.
You know, how will history remember this administration? We all know they're playing for the resume. We've left Iraq. Now, all of a sudden, looks like the troops are engaging in combat, but that won't be reported. We're going to leave Afghanistan. Last night on 60 Minutes, ISIS might take control. But you look at the stock market under this crew, and we can debate the job figures because I think they're totally bogus, as you have reported for many, many years.
Right.
But are they going to say that this guy saved the stock market?
No, it's a timing thing. It's interesting when you look at it. For example, Ronald Reagan took office when the economy was in such horrible shape. The difference there was that he did do some material things to the economy, right, with his tax reform, things
sure.
like that. That was material change, and it did take a while, but it worked. But then when George Bush first came in, the economy was good. Hey, the economy doesn't stay. It's cyclical, right? And so then it heads down, and we remember it's the economy, stupid. Bill Clinton won the election, and then is he a hero because we have exited a recession? Of course not. It's the economy is cyclical. George Bush inherited that. George Bush, too. It's a cyclical thing. I don't think that people say that, boy, what a president. Yeah, I can't believe that legislate, like, you know, the health care plan. Man, that just zoomed the economy. There's nothing
like,
he did.
But there's, like, alternate realities. We have and my liberal progressive friends will go, well, look at the jobs, 5.9 unemployment. But he gins the numbers by putting in part-timers and everything else,
sure.
seasonal workers, which has never been done before, number one. Number two, that will look at gas prices. They're down. Can't hate Obama now. And it's an alternate reality.
Yeah.
More Americans are working harder, getting less for it, and yet you know, the stock market's blowing up. So how can we not give credit to this guy?
Right. And all, obviously, Kevin, it's one of the tricks in life is for us to not just see what we're looking for.
Right.
Right. And so the left only looks for excuses why he's actually really pro-business, even though he'll say he's not. Because that isn't a good place to be politically, is to say, the guy I really like, he hates business. That's just not, that's not going to get you elected. So they're always looking for excuses. But the reality is, as you know, Kevin, that
sure.
The president has tried to stop every bit of drilling in the country. He hasn't allowed anything to happen. What has transpired for oil and energy prices is simple. It's technology. It's private lands. The president has done zero, and he's tried to actually block it. But fortunately, we have rule of law. So if we really want to talk about what it is, Kevin, I think the biggest benefactor that the president has had is called rule of law. You know, private lands, people have a tendency to be able to do what they want with their private lands.
He's quick to take credit for that, though.
Of course.
He's quick to take credit. Now, we're going to ask you...
And blame, if he will.
Yes. Now, let's don the headphones there. We have our good old friend. Hopefully, they'll be working. A lot of quality control issues here at the old Kevin Miller Show. Let's go to Ron Paul Jim, who wants to talk gas prices at 580 KIDO. Happy New Year, Ron Paul Jim.
Happy New Year. Good morning. Hey, I got a question for you, Mr. Petzo.
Yes, sir.
The gas prices, normally, anytime there was any sort of threat of war in the Middle East, gas prices would jump, you know, and it was always said that that was speculation, market speculation, that the price was going up.
Right.
And then this time, we have all this threat of war with ISIS and all that stuff, and, you know, and they're angry at Russia and all the, and cutting off in sanctions and everything. So there should be a
war premium.
There should be fear of war and speculation causing gas prices to go up. But they're doing quite the opposite.
They are.
In fact, you know, from someone that observes it, you'd think, well, maybe those gas prices are not market driven.
Well, you're right. It used to be. Ron, it used to be that way. I you certainly have it right. But that was back in the day when the Middle East controlled energy prices. So when there was trouble in the Middle East, we were afraid of being able to ship it all around the world. You didn't have Russia with a huge supply of energy. You didn't have the United States in an energy renaissance here. So with all these different sources, you're not going to see trouble in the Middle East. Plus, we all grow weary of that, too, meaning decade after decade after decade, I'm supposed to go, oh, wow, the Middle East is on fire. I don't know when the Middle East hasn't been on fire, and so it kind of loses its push. The other thing that it doesn't have any premium anymore is gold. Remember, it used to be the Soviet Union would do some saber rattling, and gold prices would shoot up. Nowadays, you can have saber rattling going on all over the place. You can have energy spiking, and gold just doesn't do anything. So things do change.
That's been just a recent change, like this year only.
Well, it's been occurring over the last few years. You mean as far as oil?
Yeah. Here's the other aspect of this is the prices are tumbling down on gasoline, but look at diesel. Why is diesel? I know that the demand. See, this is why I say it's contrived, because they're putting everybody at ease by lowering gas prices so everybody feels good about the economy and everything. But in reality, the transfer, even though the prices are coming down, the transfer of the expense, the majority of the expense is staying up on diesel, because that's in the commercial and in the, you know, where the costs are passed on to the consumer through the, you know, what they purchase, not necessarily in gas alone, but what they purchase, you know, in products and food and everything that travels by diesel.
Good point, Ron Paul Jim. Thank you for the call.
There is no conspiracy. I will just leave it at that. There's no conspiracy to keep prices up or down on anything in particular. It's all supply and demand, and we are absolutely awash.
There's no collusion?
There's no collusion.
There's no collusion at all.
Well, certainly not right now going on. I mean, is there collusion in two or three gas stations getting together to make sure that the prices don't drop further? I don't know.
There's
probably
no collusion with the oil companies?
There's not. Sorry.
Even though they have a monopoly?
How is there a monopoly?
There's only five oil companies that in the old days... There used to be 10 or 20. Now there's five. Yeah. Geopolitical. And if Dave Petzo wanted to Dave, you've missed me, haven't you, here at 580 Candia? I like that one. And if Dave Petzl wanted to start Petzl Oil, he couldn't because of, you know, the collusion.
And, well, the price. The price. Anybody can. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens. Hey, Kevin, this whole renaissance in the United States occurred not because of the giants. None of them. It's occurred because of the midsize and the independents, and most importantly, the technology in the laboratories by the white coats figuring out how to make to better fracture shale. It is absolutely not Exxon and Chevron that did this. So if they had, they would go ahead and own it all, and they don't. They don't own almost no shale production at all.
Well, you take a look, though, at the Dakotas and that Wild West going on out there, and you know the idea of whether or not that will come to Idaho, any of the fracking.
Eventually it might. Depends on the structure we have here and the overall cost, because it is not uniform. There are some areas that can be profitable with $30 a barrel oil, and there's others that take $70. And we call them all shale. It's all dependent on what the structure is and how rich it is.
More coming up with Dave Petzl.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, it is Dave Petzl. He's going to make us rich today.
I am. All right. What do you want, some 2015 predictions or something?
Well, you know, we're going to ask you coming up locally who had the best year. But before that, and I still, you know, I haven't asked you about the Chinese in a while. But I am also going to ask you about the housing market, because since you've known me,
yes,
I'm just obsessed with the housing market.
You are, and the Chinese.
Yes, for various reasons, so the Chinese housing market. But before that, let's go to Brian in Meridian at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
I think we owe you a T-shirt.
We just heard I should come by and get that tomorrow.
You should.
We just had the Hannity Espresso Minute, I think, and he said we're $18 trillion in debt. I'm curious how Petzl, he says that's going to be on our children's responsibility. When are we going to take responsibility for driving up the debt instead of passing it off to our children? How does Petzl look at our current national debt as affecting the economy over 2015? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, thanks for the call. I wish we were dealing with this for years and years. And if you've heard me say I don't think the budget deficit is the biggest problem, I don't. Part of the reason why is because I believe that the economy will continue to grow and shrink that. But historically, one thing I've been wrong about
is the idea.
Multiple times. Yeah, it happened once before, like it was 2005, I think. Anyway, the government has an amazing ability. The people of the United States have a stunning ability to reelect people based on the promise of giving stuff, even though the money's not there. So government continues to grow. So my concern has always been the size of government, not the budget deficit. The deficit itself is an inhibitor to growth of government. If we wipe that out, do you think that government would shrink or grow? I believe it would grow. And government only... absolutely only takes more freedom away, more money, feeding the pig, and that's what it is. And every time we expand a program of any kind, it's less freedom somewhere, and this continual drip is turning into a gusher. So the size of government has been what I've been just dead wrong on. I did not think that we could possibly get government this big, and that's my
biggest
concern.
There is a danger, right, that the deficit isn't addressed.
Yes and no. As a percentage of GDP, yes, Kevin, it is. If it's not addressed, and there are people out there on the far left that think that we just print more money, that it just doesn't matter, just print more money. And that works really good in current politics because it just gets the people today don't have to make the tough decisions, which are usually politically difficult to make. We have to fix Social Security. Well, don't fix mine, fix somebody else's. Yeah, that's the circular argument we have all of the time with the difficult questions. And if we don't address them now, we just push them off in the future, print a few more bills, and someday that will get addressed. Somebody like that has the charisma, the can reach across the aisle like Ronald Reagan did, someday somebody like that will come along and perhaps help us with some long-term solutions to those problems. But yes, it does have long-term consequences, but as long as it's a small percentage of our GDP overall, and it is in the United States right now. By the way, as an aside, Japan is in real trouble. We're okay right now.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Let's talk locally. What company locally do you believe had the best year?
Well, it's got to be Micron, not just because they their stock
went up. You're always talking Micron.
I know.
Are you their spokesperson? I'm sure no one has ever said that to you.
No. Well, as a matter of fact, Kevin, this is a little bit before your time here. I was their anti-spokesperson. So,
well, why don't you?
I was on the outs with Steve Appleton for quite a while.
Well, you need to go back to that.
Yeah.
A little unpredictability.
I can't. They got their act together. They're good. They're making everybody tons of money out there. And let's not forget, there's a little company out there, a veterinarian, MWI, that is growing leaps and bounds as well. So we always talk about Micron, and we should because of the size and the impact to our local economy. But at the same time, there are some really neat companies out there up and growing, and MWI is one of those companies that employs a lot of people here and is doing a fantastic job.
Our great friend Dave Petzl with us. Okay, let's talk a little housing here at 580 KIDO. We've had a lot of building.
Yep.
Still have a lot of building going on. What's the outlook, though? We have our friends that, you know, that sell real estate, but a good past few years for realtors here in the Treasure Valley.
It's been real good, and I think it's going to be solid going forward. This is a place people want to come to. So I think we've got caught up from the overbuilding. It's a rational market, and I think markets have to be rational when you're trying to figure out if they're going to be moving forward, meaning positively. The market is rational, and I feel very good about this valley and what's going on with people moving into the valley. It's what are they expecting, Kevin? 900,000, a million people here in 20 years? That's just an extraordinary growth rate, and that will mean a lot more houses are going to be built and bought by people moving here.
Well, you have to have the industry to support it, as we always talk about.
You do, but that industry always it always seems to pop up. What industry in any particular place in the world is one specific thing? It's not. A few decades ago, you could have said Detroit was all autos, and I agree with that. Or whatever industrial area of the country, North Carolina's making furniture. Now they make all kinds of things, including automobiles. We do too. We have technology here. We've got agriculture here. We've got entrepreneurs, 1, 2, 3 person places, employees trying to figure out if they can become a mid-sized company. There are a lot of businesses really in any particular culture. We don't just we do think of the big ones, but we should think of all of them.
Still a challenge to overcome our remoteness when we talk about air travel, as you know.
It's huge.
But let's go to our friend Terry, who wants to talk about, I bet, the petrodollar and the bond market here at 580 KIDO with Dave Petzl. Hello, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
It's Terry from State College. Good morning, sir.
Glad to hear your voice. Question for Dave, if I could. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Terry.
Been watching the shale fracking oil industry, and they're starting to pop. These guys are starting to fall apart. They cannot meet their manufacturing cost.
Right.
So I look around and I see, well, we've got $500 billion of junk bonds.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if the junk bonds collapse? How will that affect the market? And I can take my answer off the air. I would just like to hear an answer to that if I
well,
could.
Well, hang on just 1 second. Do you mean junk bond market in general? Or
yeah,
just specific
bond
to these?
In general.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
The junk bond market.
Wait a minute. What is this? Money Matters here on Monday?
That would be a good Money Matters question, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
you want me to hold that till Saturday, or
no?
Bring
the
it
inmates
on.
Run the asylum here.
Okay. Hey, the overall junk bond market is bigger than just the oil industry, and you're right. I think there's going to be some defaults there, and the junk bond market has already corrected a good bit. Now, those companies, what will actually happen, I don't think it's going to affect the in oil industry. And because of the size of the junk bond market, the diversification of the funds, for the most part, most of them will be just fine. some of them are going to have made too big a leverage bets in this area, in the space. That always happens. It always does. Somebody just takes on a stupid amount of risk because they want to be a hero and make a name, and that's going to blow up, or you know, be a terrible return for people. But the market is much bigger than this space. I know there's a lot of chit chat about it, but I don't see that being something that really takes down the high yield market at all. Thanks.
All right, there we have it, Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Dave Petzo, anything else you want to share with us?
No, hey, you know, I am going to give you, if you will, a 2015. We talked about this on Saturday. We talked about it here at Channel 7 just a few minutes ago.
Hey, Channel 7 doesn't mention you're on 580 KIDO, so enough they of
don't.
Them.
Okay, sorry.
Enough of them,
that,
buddy.
Yeah, the thing I did before I got
hey,
here.
Hey, that audience isn't watching that. They're tuned into Petzo here.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
I got to pretend our turf here, buddy.
Okay, Saturday on KIDO.
Yes, that's yeah. right. Yes. You've
we
only been
about
here for
this.
What, 30 years?
Not quite, but you're closing in on it, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we talked about this, and this is something to keep our eyes on, really, because interest rates, people talk about the fact that interest rates are going higher and that that's going to do this, 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 and this. I think we have to just take a step back and understand interest rates are short-term and long-term. The Federal Reserve controls short-term rates, and as the economy gets better, excuse me, then rates are going to be moving higher. The Federal Reserve controls those. As far as long-term rates, the market controls that, and we've got Germany at 0.5% 10-year, Japan at 0.3, and we're at 2.1. Why would rates go higher? Where people are going to buy our bonds.
Dave, it's time to go.
Okay, I'm leaving.
You're just on a roll. I think you, like Dave Burnett, have missed me. You just want to hang out the whole time.
Well, I do. I was just going to wait for the commercial break so we can hang some more.
Exactly. There we have it. Our friend Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Money matters every Saturday here at 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us as we start the only segment known to man on terrestrial radio, the Manly Man segment. Probably there's a reason why there's only one. There's only one original. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Now, I'm sitting here doing a lot of research lately.
Oh, boy.
And
got the World Book Encyclopedia out?
You know, I need your help with something.
All right.
You're a sensitive man.
Sure.
An understanding man.
Sometimes.
An intelligent man.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, hang on. That's me. Hold on.
It's that call coming in.
Yep.
Hold on, Poughkeepsie. I'll be right back.
We're being listened to.
Okay. Hopefully. Anyway. The Stuart Scott thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Stuart Scott, courageous young man. I need to find that article. There was an article in the New York Times about him about 6 months ago, how he was fighting cancer and doing these incredible kickboxing classes, and never mind the chemo and everything else. The guy was just in shape and doing everything that he can. And somebody pointed this out to me yesterday. You know, they stopped NFL games for him and everything else, and yet, and I guess we fall into this all the time, this comparison. When Pat Summerall died, a guy who played the games and announced the games, there wasn't this much hoopla or fanfare. Now, I guess, listening to our sister station this morning, 6:30, the Fan, I guess Kanye West and Paul McCartney are doing a song for Stuart Scott and everything. And I'm thinking, I've got a few thoughts on this, but last night, North Carolina stopped their basketball game. He's an alumnus, and I get that, mm-hmm. The Carolina connection there. President Obama, I think, spoke about it. And with respect to what he's been through and dying and everything, you know, is this too much?
I think this is a generational thing. When you talk Pat Summerall, you're talking, what was it, CBS, back in the day when there was, you know, four networks or three networks, whereas now Stuart Scott is part of the four-letter generation of that ilk that is more of the social media and those that appeal to those perhaps under 40, whereas Pat Summerall was an over 40 guy. So I think that's why you see a big deal being made of it. Kind of a pioneer in some ways, Stuart Scott was, you know, on cable, of being a black man into the sports business, so he's a bit of a pioneer, but I think it has more to do with a generational thing than it does anything else. That's my gut feel on it.
Well, what always used to get me when somebody famous would die is all the attention that they would get. And I'm thinking there's somebody who is anonymous, who's going through things that are a lot tougher, who doesn't have the, you know, the medical benefits and everything else. And again, not disrespecting the memory of Stuart Scott, but I'm thinking, you know, people die all the time. And, you know, whether it's St. Al's, whether it's St. Luke's, there are people right now getting treatment that may not make it.
Yeah, well, the truth is, Kevin, we'll all die of something, whether it's from putting too much figgy pudding in our mouth or whether it's, you know, a car accident. We'll all die from something. There will be a cause for all of us when it's said and done. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. The question is, and again, it's the world and the media that we live in. Will the media make a bigger deal out of Stuart Scott dying, or will they make a bigger deal out of Fred Harmon dying?
Yeah.
And you're going to say, who's Fred Harmon? I'm going to say, I have no idea.
You pulled a Kevin Miller. That was a good one.
Yeah, I have no idea who Fred Harmon is, but
right. He's
fighting for his life right now. He may have lost his life this morning to whatever, to the bus that ran him over. No offense meant to any bus drivers.
Or those that run people over, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, we're all going to die from something. There will be a cause on all of our death.
Right.
It's just whether, you know, and Stuart Scott happened to be on a pioneering sports channel, and, you know, they were doing new and innovative things, and he's credited for part of it and had, you know, I mean, he's the guy that came up with Booyah, which now is almost a cliche.
You know, and I have to tell you, again, here at 580KIDO, I never really cared for him.
I wasn't a big, and no disrespect, but I was never a big Stuart Scott fan myself.
Yeah, and they always talked about that he would break through and everything else, and I'm going, okay, well, I liked Craig Kilborn and other folks, but, you know, it's just interesting that we go all out, and again, with respect, politically correct belt, you know, when the media loses one of its own, I think they elevate the conversation because they make it about themselves.
Yes.
And look, it was powerful stuff yesterday, but I mean, it was all Stuart Scott, and I would hope that we would make it about the people that are fighting the illness and other people that we've lost to cancer or leukemia or lymphoma, than just Stuart Scott. I mean, again, being on SportsCenter, that's a tough job, but so is working outside in the cold right now.
Being on SportsCenter is not a tough job. That's not a tough job. It's a good gig. He had a good gig.
He did, but I mean, you're under pressure and stuff. And I just love how we play into the narrative that America, you know, here's another thing. We always talk about race, and you and I have a special dialogue when it comes to race, and you have a unique experience about race that you talk about. But if America was such a racist country, would everybody be mourning the death of Stuart Scott?
No.
They don't look at him as racial. They look at him as...
He was a sportscaster,
right.
Yeah. You know, I made mention of the fact that he was, you know, kind of a black man pioneering in the world of television. He wasn't, you know, if you want to go back to that, you might want to go back to the Gumbels or, you know, some of the others. But, you know, he played a part of that, but that wasn't why he was popular. His minority was not why he was successful there. I think you're closer to being on track when you talk about when those in the media die, suddenly the media goes super serving overboard. You know, Robin Williams dies and the Hollywood community goes nuts. That's all you see is tributes and all that he did. There's a lot of people who have done a lot more that died that we don't, you know, Fred Harmon did more.
Back to Fred, yes.
Timmy Harmon. No, it's Fred. Timmy's brother, Fred, did more. But because it's not in the media, we don't pay attention.
Well, and the media, I think, is the most powerful entity right now. You take a look at the president gets I watched that 60 Minutes piece. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, and this guy is going, well, the Afghanis want us to stay. Well, the president doesn't want us to stay, number one. And number two, Iraq is a disaster, and there are reports percolating out of Iraq, as happened in Vietnam, that our advisors are engaging in fighting outside of Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the president hopes to run out the clock, but... And look, I hope this doesn't happen, but God forbid we start losing people and they either report it or they cover it up. I mean, the press has a job to, what is it, to the afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted.
Yeah, and that's a big question. What happens when the first American, God forbid, dies 50 miles outside of Baghdad? Wait a minute, what?
Was it because of a training accident or because ISIS got him?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's a very valid question. What will the media do with it? Will the media go, this guy was outside the area and wound up in combat against terrorists? So, no, that's a very valid question. What will the media do with it? And what will we as Americans do with it?
Well, true. 580 KIDOs, we continue on with the Manly Man. So you wanted to give me a hard time about gas prices?
Yeah. Well below the national average.
Mm-hmm.
And you were all about beating up, the Mavericks and the Stinkers and Jacksons and the mm-hmm. other people when they were above, Myers when they were above the price average.
I don't recall ever going after local people. I recall going after big oil. In fact, Dave Petso and I, yesterday when he's yapping to me, he goes, well, there's no monopoly in oil. I go, yes, there is. There's only 5 oil companies and there used to be 20. Can't tell me there's not collusion there.
You don't ever remember criticizing why we're above the national average? You've had listeners on the air with you doing it.
And I blame big oil. I don't blame the people here. And I've advocated that instead of having the good stuff that comes in from Montana, that actually the state is trying to get rid of the real gas because they all want us addicted to ethanol, and having that one line in from Salt Lake with a refinery, that we build our own refinery. Obviously,
well, that's not going to happen.
Obviously, that movement has not a lot of push behind it.
How many refineries have been built in our country here in the past 10 years? Hang on, I'm counting. I'm still counting. None.
However, let me hit you with this one then.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, Pat Benatar. When we talk about gas prices and everything else, they'll go back up again. People start complaining, and then I'm going to go, well, I was right.
That they'll go back up again?
Yeah, they're going to go back up.
Sure, they'll go back up. I don't think there's a soul out there that doesn't think they'll go back up.
Everybody thinks that, oh, it's great right now. Well, it should be great like this all the time. And if you had the Kevin Miller refinery in Idaho, we'd make money off it, number one. And number two, we'd always have permanently low gas prices. And to your point about the refinery, here's the sick, twisted, demented thought behind your thought. Never thought I'd say that this early in the morning, did you?
I know.
Okay. That even though we haven't built refineries, even though we haven't done anything to help oil companies and everything else as far as building refineries, our system is still so good that as we close refineries down, we're so efficient, we still have a ton of extra gasoline that we make. And instead of flooding our market and helping out good Americans, we sell it to the Chinese and the Japanese.
Making money.
For big oil.
Making money. Hey, wait a minute. I think I have stock in some oil company. That's partly me.
I'm glad that's working out for you. The rest of us, poor people, we're not doing so well.
You don't have a 401k?
Nope.
Hmm.
You know why I don't have a 401k? Because when the stock market crashes, I'm going to be at the same level as everybody else.
Digging up your Folgers coffee can out of the backyard.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, and this is another thing that I don't get with people. You know, people talk about investing in stocks and bonds. Yesterday, biggest drop ever, 2% drop. Oh, no, my retirement. Oh, blah, blah. I think you should just put your money in the bank. The federal government guarantees it. And then they go, well, the federal government may be able to take your money, but and you're going to lose money on an interest rate. If you have enough money that you max out the federal, the federal depository insurance thing, which is $250,000, you put that in like 5 banks. You can live off the interest for the rest of your life, can't you?
Do I look like Dave Petzl? I don't know.
That's my retirement portfolio, though I'm nowhere near any of that.
Yeah, I've invested in cardboard signs is what I'm going to invest in. Help me.
So we've got that going on. The governor sworn in. Sherry Ibarra sworn in yesterday. What do you think of her, the education person?
Time will tell. We will yet to see.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make one way or the other.
You don't bash anybody, though.
Me?
Yeah, let's get some.
I bash you all the time.
Yeah, I know. That's the only person you bash, and I'm very frustrated by it.
Are you?
Yes. I got issues.
Let's see. Who do you want me to bash?
Well, you go back to Sherry Ibarra. I mean, what is her plan? And really, how, you know.
I'm not sure what her plan is.
I don't know if she's
I don't know
sure.
if she has one. I don't know.
Well, she got elected, but here's the thing that I don't get, and help me out with this. Has the country become God forbid me saying this on this station, more lib. I mean, Sean Hannity yesterday is yelling about, well, we're going to go after Boehner and this. But, you know, Sean couches it where he's not advocating people throwing over Boehner because he gets Boehner on. And I'm thinking, okay, you got Louis Gohmert. You got this guy, Representative Yoho. Yeah, exactly. Yahoo. But anyway, and I understand the fight, but do you think that what has happened nationally with the Tea Party people not winning seats, except for Virginia, where they got rid of Eric Cantor, and with the possible elevation of Jeb Bush, you know, we could be seeing a realignment here. And, you know, my buddy Heidi Harris has yelled at me about rhinos and stuff, but maybe it's a rhino nation. What? Quick, let me see if that domain is taken yet.
Well, probably. Probably.
Probably. On GoDaddy, you just have to buy a thing and you're good to go.
Exactly.
On their TV commercials. But you know what I'm saying? Are we moving more into the...
I think we are. Well, maybe we are. I think as a nation, I think we're fatigued. I think we're fatigued of bickering, fighting, and nothing happening, both between donkeys and elephants and within elephants and within donkeys. You know, within the parties, I think you got a big chunk that, you know, people are tired of the bickering, fighting, and nothing being accomplished.
Yeah, I don't know if it's all donkeys and elephants. I think it's more that one side has the press on their side and the other doesn't.
Maybe.
Could George Bush get away with what happened in Iraq?
No. No. We used to have a clock counting the deaths in Iraq.
Right.
730 people dead now. Now, a lot of people, if you were to go in the halls of, you know, this building and ask people, are there any American soldiers in Iraq? Are they still in Afghanistan? Half the people couldn't answer.
Right.
They couldn't answer if we still have soldiers in Korea or in, you know,
right,
in Japan. They couldn't answer those questions. So, yeah, you know, because they get their news from John Stewart.
Well, those that get their news quickly, the new Congress is sworn in today. Do you feel a change coming? What was that?
That's me biting my tongue.
It sounded like some type of yawn.
I hope so. I would hope so. Do I expect it? No.
Well, you should be. I mean, we all voted for change. I could feel it coming.
I hope so. Do I expect it? No.
Well, you're just an optimist this morning. I guess we should go back to gas and that at least right now you're happy because you get lower gas prices,
you
and I'm
bet.
Wrong.
I have seen diesel under $3 a gallon. Woohoo! I am happy.
Well, you know, I think you need to buy a Prius.
Why would I do that?
Well, because then you don't have to worry about gas anymore. You just buy a Prius. I was in the Star Merc, and there were eight trucks like your truck, huge, enormous trucks. Do you know how tough that is to drive around with those big eight trucks around?
I know. You know what? I should invest in a buckskin. Maybe that'd be the best thing to do.
Well, you know what time it is.
Give me a 17-hand buckskin. I'd just be coming in with my traffic now in the fog. The traffic now, Kevin, it is.